Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
And welcome in, everybody, to a Monday edition of Sports Daily. Glad to be with you here. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland, Max Power also in producing for you. He's got your KFH hotline at 869-1240. Lots to comment on today, Chiefs fans, as Patrick Mahomes tears his ACL. In the final moments of a game, the Chiefs are eliminated from the playoffs in what feels like a lifetime. We'll get into it all today. You can call us at 869-1240. You can leave us comments on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X. Thanks for being with us on 12 News Connected. Thanks for being with us on the Odyssey app. If you're on the Odyssey app, by the way, you can leave us a voice message, and we can get that over the air. And if it's, you know, not the time, you can talk to us or whatever. Leave it to us, because this Chiefs topic will be relevant for a little while. Maybe we get to it tomorrow if you're listening to us in podcast form. So lots of different ways to get in touch with the program. We will have Joshua Briscoe of the Chiefs Radio Network in next hour to talk about everything. He'll have a good read on things in the coverage they had yesterday. And looking forward now, there's still three games to go, but I think a lot of us are looking forward to an offseason. We will also get in today to college basketball. Wichita State head coach Paul Mills will join us. We'll ask him how many free throws the guys shot on Sunday, assuming they practiced yesterday. So we'll have that for you. We will have talk of the other two games, KU, K-State this weekend, the latest on Darren Peterson. It's all coming on a jam-packed Monday edition, and it's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring a Christmas cocktail menu. Dazzle your date with the stockings and snowfall. Make merry with a mistletoe mint, or gather the girls for a pumped espresso martini. The Christmas cocktail menu now available at Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for the holiday season. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. You said that this topic may be relevant for the next couple of days. This topic may be relevant for the rest of Chiefs history. This is going to be a big, big thing in the history books of what we saw this past weekend. And it is, it's over. And it's not even the biggest thing of the day.
Yeah, it's crazy. We knew it was likely going to be over soon-ish. Didn't know if it'd come in that one. Had a good chance to beat the Chargers. A couple of key mistakes, including Mahomes' interception, cost them the ability to do that. But yeah, the landscape changed quite a bit as Mahomes went down in what looked like a knee injury and was later confirmed with an ACL. I mean, it just was, because now you have to worry not just about this lost season, but how does that thing linger? And, you know, it's more than just Mahomes, TJ. We had a lot of questions anyway. Does this impact any of those questions? right? Yes. I think that's the, does this impact the future of Travis Kelce? Does this impact the future of Andy Reid? Does this impact the future of making a certain decision on a roster, you know, move? And yes. Yes. I think it changes a little bit of how Brett Veach approaches his job this offseason. The Chiefs have a real tough evaluation coming in how much do they pull back to perhaps rebuild. This was the year to push it all in and sort of just try to recover from a bad Super Bowl loss, right? And fix the one thing that caught, you know, the offensive line. And they did that. And then they got unlucky with injuries, but it didn't work. So you can't do that again. Like, you can't just run that back. They were not good a lot of times this year.
The thing is, in my opinion, as I've looked back on all this, and I've kind of thought this for the last, you know, since last season, is the fact of, I agree, 2025 was supposed to be the year to be like, this is, you know, it's not the last dance, but, you know, that's going to be different after this year. And I think that 2026 was a year to be like, you know, you could have tried to get a little cute and scrape by with what you have and just been like, you know, how good is Mahomes? Can we get this done with no Travis Kelce? Can we get this done with no of these? Like, what if we don't pay those guys? Like, how good will we still be? And I think that that was in the cards to be a thing in 2026. And then based on the way that this season went, that has turned less and less into that, in my opinion. And then now with Patrick Mahomes news that he is likely going to miss time next year, it's like, you can't get cute at all. Like, you need to, you know, look at it this offseason, strip it down to the screws, and think about, like, what do we need to do right now?
Yeah, and look, we'll dig into timetables and things like that. But, yeah, I think the bigger overarching thing is, how do you quickly get back to the thing that you've had as an organization for the last decade? Dynasties end, and sometimes they don't. And sometimes they don't, right? It doesn't mean that this thing is over. It, like, that's the crazy thing to me. Like, I get it. Like, for a lot of Chiefs fans, younger ones, this is all they've ever known, right? For older Chiefs fans, I think the reality of, man, this run might be over. Like, you get used to winning. And so when you don't, like, you perhaps overreact. I think there's a lot of overreaction to this season. Let me just go back a little bit. I think there's a lot of overreaction to this season. This team was not good enough. Okay. What the Chiefs have done over the last 10 years is remarkable. And getting really upset that they ran it back with the team last year. So, oh God, see, I knew it. Like, they made it to the Super Bowl last year, right? So I don't think the front office did anything wrong. I think they made a great pick in Josh Simmons, and if there were unfortunate circumstances with a lot of the things, I think they had a ton of injuries, and I think Mahomes did not play at the level that I would have expected him to play all the time. He showed signs of being really good. He showed signs of being out like the old Superman Mahomes too. And then there were things like the interception yesterday where you're like, what the hell was that? Like, it was just not a good year, and that's okay, right? You've had 10 of them in a row that have been spectacular. So all that aside, now the question is that the end of the dynasty, or is this just the middle part where they were inevitably going to have to rebuild it anyway? Like, yeah, Mahomes has a lot left in the tank, but Reed, Jones, Kelce, the other key components to this thing, they don't. They may not have much left in the tank at all. So that was always staring this organization in the face. It just hits a lot harder when he goes down with that injury, when they don't make the playoffs, all of these things. Like, Mahomes was built up into this TJ invulnerable superhero that would never struggle in the NFL. Like, that's all of our fault. Like, of course that's not true.
What do you want him to do? Like, what'd you do to Tom Brady? He's on the same path as Tom Brady was.
Exactly.
He was on a better path.
The middle part of Brady's dynasty.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like, it's fine to have the standards that they had for Patrick Mahomes.
But you got to understand, like, he's still an NFL football player. It's really hard to do this in this league.
The thing is that he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Like, to have a bad year, you're going to be disappointed about it, which is not the point here. He's got a torn ACL. Back to the point we were making here is that, like, I agree with you. The fact of like, listen, Chiefs fans, you got 10 years of the playoffs and all these Super Bowls. Like, we're not going to guilt trip you for being upset your team didn't make the playoffs. It sucks. You're supposed to make the playoffs. This is supposed to be the thing that makes you upset. And I agree. I think it's not so much the fact of like, well, you know, whatever. We make the playoffs all the time. Like, no Chiefs fan in the world is saying that right now. And if they are, then you're not a sports fan. The fact of the matter that is the big, big deal about this is, well, one, they missed the playoffs. That's a big deal in itself. And two is the fact of like, we're going to lose a lot, and now Patrick Mahomes has a torn ACL. And
but are they going to lose a lot? You mean this year?
Going into next year?
You think it's just they're just going to suck next year?
No. But there's going to be decisions to be made. Like we said, like, they weren't going to be as good as they were this year.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the portion that's saying the dynasty's over. Like, it's over. It was nice while it lasted.
It could be. Next year is going to be so much different than it was the last decade.
What if next year they struggle? You'd say it's over, or in 2 years when he's healthy, they're fine. We'll discuss. It's a fascinating topic to me. But the reality and the suck of hitting you in the face is, yeah, the season's over. Mahomes tore his ACL. Goodness gracious, what a slap in the face yesterday. We'll be back. We'll discuss it all on Sports Daily.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. You can meet Swag. Swag, a 5.5-year-old, 64-pound pup, brings calm, confident energy wherever he goes. He's more on the independent side, loves to explore and enjoys pets without needing to be glued to your side. Think chill companion, happy to hang out and do his own thing, then come back for a scratch or two. You can visit Swag at the Kansas Humane Society if you want to help pets like Swag. KHS has a list of items they use every day. It's the 12 Strays of Christmas, supported by 316 Pet Supplies and XY Bar in downtown Wichita. Welcome back in, everybody. TJ Cleland, Jacob Albrocht here on Sports Daily. Glad to be with you. So, look, I think maybe I struck a nerve there, TJ. My point with all of this today is it is perfectly reasonable to be upset by this year. We all should be. I thought this team was good enough to go to the Super Bowl. I think they've wildly disappointed. It is not, to me, the time to say, it's over. It was good while it lasted. Like, this organization is in great shape. Mahomes is the quarterback. The scariest part of yesterday, obviously, is that he tore his ACL. Not just because of, you know, the timeline to come back. That's scary for next year. Next year is frightening. But you still have Mahomes, right? Like, this whole big picture thing, like, this happens all the time in the NFL. Teams have down years. Even great teams who have long stretches of success from time to time have down years, especially when you throw all the circumstances into the pot of what this year has meant, with players getting hurt, players being suspended, players leaving the team for a number of weeks for some reason. Like, that, this can be isolated. It just makes the job this offseason a lot more difficult to make sure it is isolated.
I mean, I don't know. It's a two-part thing, I think, for this year. I think you're right on the fact of suspension and an injury right off the bat to Xavier Worthy and Josh Simmons missing time and this guy missing time and having five offensive linemen down for this past game. Like, I agree there's a lot of misfortune that went their way, and I also think that at the end of the day, like, maybe – this team wasn't good enough, though. Like we talked about that, the fact of, like, they, you know, were a fortunate team last year. You know, maybe it's the pendulum swinging back the other way. They were a fortunate team. They won a lot of one-score games, which history tells you, you know, it's not quite luck, but that doesn't happen to everybody. And then they go to the Super Bowl and get exposed on their biggest weaknesses, and they decide to basically run it back. And that's something that we've talked about, is like, what really can you do is kind of a question, and that's a whole other conversation. But the fact is that, like, they kind of bet and put their chips on the table of saying, like, we think last year's team was good enough to go to the Super Bowl, but they're for real. We think that this team can as well, because it's the same team plus Josh Simmons, basically, and Rashee Rice coming back. And so, you know, that it may be a two-part thing. I think that the biggest thing, back to the original conversation here, is the fact of, like, it may not – end the window, you know, like, that's what we keep talking about, is the Mahomes window. It may not end the window, and it may not be the biggest deal. Like, they could win two more Super Bowls, but in, you know, it for the Chiefs at this point, like, you're chasing other things. Like, you're chasing trying to catch the Patriots. You're trying to catch Brady with Mahomes. Like, that's the biggest thing that Chiefs fans want to worry about. And I think that losing a quarterback in a season you don't make the playoffs and you're going to miss time next year of the guy that you think the one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, like, it's going to put a big, like,
it is.
What if,
you
I
have
guess.
To, you the best have way to hope this is right in the middle. 2008 year, right? That was the year that the Patriots, and it's because Brady got hurt. Patriots don't make the postseason, right? But for me, like, you're chasing a lot of different things when you're chasing the Patriots, right? You're chasing a total number of Super Bowls, first and foremost. I think when you talk about the Patriots dynasty, you're chasing never having a year like this, because really they didn't, other than the year that you know, Brady got hurt. So you're probably not catching that. So now you refocus on, okay, can we win a bunch of Super Bowls? Or you just focus on, we're not going to catch that, but we still maybe have the second best one of these we've ever had, right? Like, so there's a lot of it. And the thing that the Patriots did in those years is they were a little quicker on the trigger to rebuild. Right, the Chiefs have tried to run this one through. You know, they've tried to run it through, and again, I was work this year, right? Like, it's been such a strange, not just 2 years, but 3 years, the last Super Bowl year, that was another year where everyone was like, it's over. It looks like it's over. This team's not very good. And it's like, hang tight, like good defense. And Patrick Mahomes is still there. Then they come back the next year, which was last year. And to me, I was like, God dang, they're lucky. Like this is strange, but hey, they're there. And then they ran it through and they got to the Super Bowl again. And I'm like, well, all right. And then, you know, that was where I was wrong. And I think it's where a lot of people were wrong. Like, okay, they got housed in the Super Bowl. The offensive line was such a clear problem last year. If they just get that fixed, that's going to be enough to try one more time at it. And it wasn't. It wasn't even close, quite frankly. We're going in. There's three games left in the season, and they're eliminated. So it wasn't close at all. And now Mahomes has a torn ACL. And that is, you know, the question. We have two competing storylines now. Rick asks, who's going to be the quarterback for 6+ weeks next? That's the problem, Rick. Like, we don't know if it's going to be 6+ weeks.
If I had to take a stab, I think that the odds on favorite for Mahomes' return is, you know, I think it's October at least. Like, there's a world, and we've talked about this, there's a world where he returns in September and, like, could be one of those tears. We don't know at all what the tear is like. But, if you see the words torn ACL, like, you think at least 10 months. Like, that's what the stereotypical return could be, and that is October. Like, and so I think that it could be 4 or 5 at least, Rick. I'm with you as well, and that's the biggest conversation. That'll scare you, you know, like, do you roll out Gardner Minshew and just see what happens? Like, I don't think that they're in a position where they can do much else outside of going to get an old man 1 year rental.
I think Gardner Minshew has proven that he is capable of this role, right? Like, this is kind of what he does. But it's hard right now even to speculate. Once we know about Mahomes, like the severity of the tear, right? Is it just the ACL? Is it the ACL plus all those other ligaments in there? Like, there's so many different kinds of torn ACLs now. It's foolish to speculate on any of it until we hear that. Just asterisk, just at the forefront. Like, if he has a full blown, like everything's torn, that's different. If it's just the ACL, like if it's your run of the mill, old school, just an ACL, like I actually think with his history of endurance, I guess, and or his body healing quickly, like we've seen over the course of his career, I do think there's a pretty decent shot he could be back for the beginning of the season, but he's going to miss the entire offseason. He's going to miss all the camps. He's going to miss all the work. He's going to miss everything. So to me, the bigger question becomes, look, Mahomes is recovering from an, and how many ACLs and big injuries like this has guys like Joe Burrow had, Andrew Luck had these, like guys come back from these. They're fine. The bigger question to me is, do the Chiefs take this moment for a harder reset than they perhaps would have if Mahomes didn't go down with the injury yesterday? Like, do you go hard at this now off season to retool and reload? Because you're always tempted with Mahomes and Reed, and like, could you talk Travis Kelce into playing another year? He's like the second or third, you know, most productive tight end still in football this year. Like, can you do all that? Or do you say, okay, look, Mahomes is out. We don't know when he's coming back. We really have to now make some really difficult decisions that we don't want to have to make. And maybe this forces our hand to do it all right now. Tear the Band-Aid off.
But I don't know what is really, I don't know what's possible to do more than what they were already going to do outside of the fact of, I agree. Like if they felt good, I think that they could talk Travis Kelce into playing again. I don't think that there's a world where he comes back. And I didn't think he was going to anyways.
That's hard. But it's hard for who knows. He's engaged.
I think he's just a whole other conversation. But like it's I don't know what they're gonna do outside of what they already were going to do. Like their running back room is empty next year.
Redefine themselves.
What do you do? Do you draft? Like you have no capital to go sign anybody. Like you can't go make a big splash somewhere. Like they're gonna have to figure out more so is the fact of like, sorry, Trent, we can't pay you. Sorry, Trent McDuffie, correct, we can't pay you. Yes. Sorry, Juwan Taylor, we've got to cut you. You're cap dead weight. Like they're gonna have to do some of those things already anyways. You know, they won the Super Bowl this year. Now it's the fact of, like, this draft is going to be the most interesting Chiefs draft in a long time because of the fact of, like, they're in the top 15. They will be in the top 15, basically. And it's depending on how, I think they're guaranteed top 15 at this point. But, like, they, you know, what do they target? Like, there's four different things they could target that you could all use a first-round pick on.
Yeah, look, you've got it just really depends on how competitive you think you're going to be next year. Because you can make difficult decisions, you can trade guys, you can do all kinds of things in the offseason. It's just, again, like, they're going to get a soft schedule next year because they didn't have a good year this year. I mean, the schedule that we already knew was going to be difficult this year got even more difficult, right, based on some of the things happening around them, the division getting better, the Jaguars being good, like all these different things that were like, oh, here's your soft. There just weren't really any soft spots. There'll be some here down the stretch.
This is one of the craziest schedules, and that's the other part of this too.
And it absolutely plays a role. It does.
Yes.
Next year, they don't have that schedule. Probably they're going to get a third place schedule. So
you hope.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, and this is, I guess, where I don't know the answer to this yet. I haven't formulated we got to see how severe this injury is before we can do anything. But again, like, are we already going to be at, and this is what's bothering me, I think, about a large portion of the fan base. Like, are you really already, like, ready to go in and say, all right, that's it, we got to rebuild this thing? Or do you give Mahomes and Reed just a little bit of credit to bounce back, right? If they can, and we don't know that yet because we don't know how bad Mahomes is hurt, but, like, haven't they earned just a little bit of leeway to say, soft schedule, let's get them back, let's see what they can do? I think they have, and I think that it's foolish to say that they haven't.
It's very interesting because it is, like, a fork in the road on the fact of, like, this is going to be the worst Chiefs team that we've probably seen in at least 4 years.
But
they're also the Chiefs. And if Patrick Mahomes can play for the final 10 weeks of the year and they've got Andy Reid, like, that's what Brandon's point. That's why I pulled this up, is the fact of, like, I'm petrified as somebody who covers the Chiefs of what this will look like next year, because it's like, I don't know. Like, this could be a team that may not be the best team in their division. Like, if you don't have Patrick Mahomes, you're none of the things that you think that the Chiefs are.
No.
They get him back, though, and they get 10 weeks. It scares me in the fact of, like, we just saw what it looks like this year without your two of your best players for the first 4 weeks. No Rashee Rice for the first 6 weeks. And it was a slow start. And then this is the bed they made afterwards. And that's not really correlated. But, like, after this season, that makes you, you know, pucker up a little more next year.
Here's the real point that makes people mad, probably, when I say things like this. But, like, don't overreact to a bad season. The Jaguars could have overreacted to Trevor Lawrence hitting a bump in the road in his development, right? Or they could be in the postseason this year. The Patriots, did anybody think they were going to have 11 wins this year? Anybody think the Colts were going to sign Daniel Jones and, prior to his injury, go out and look like a Super Bowl contender? Anybody think Bo Nix was going to lead the Broncos to 11 wins when everybody laughed at Sean Payton for taking Nix and not somebody else when he had the opportunities? And he said, now we got our guy. Like, let's pause just a second. Remember that you follow and are probably, if you listen to this show, a fan of a team that went on maybe the second greatest stretch of 10 years we have ever seen. You have a Hall of Fame quarterback. Granted, he's hurt now, which is the bigger story. A Hall of Fame coach. All of these things. Can't you just pause for just a second and say, okay, how do they? What is the path to them winning next year? It does not have to be the sky is falling, this is all over, just burn it down.
Hold on. This is where I think my mind is at in this conversation at this point, is the fact of, like, they are not going to be as good And that, I think everybody can come to terms with that, especially if Patrick Mahomes misses a lot of time.
You can say that unless Mahomes misses like most of the season.
Okay. I'll even retract that. I'll agree with you. This will be a different team than the team that led you to three straight Super Bowl appearances.
Correct.
And that's scary because that team went to three Super Bowls.
And it probably needed to be this year.
I agree. The fact is, I'm with you. Mahomes could come back. They could rip off 10 straight wins to finish the year, get in the postseason, go to another Super Bowl, and it would be an incredible story. But the fact is, they're going to be the underdogs next year. Like, they aren't going to be the team as we go into the season saying, yeah, like, look at like, this Chiefs team is going to be the one that's going to do it. Like, this year was the one that's like, they're going to come back with a vengeance. They just lost in the Super Bowl. They got a little better, I think. Like, I'm not sure, but I think that they're a little better. We were wrong about that. Like, next year, if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, like, you're going to look back and be like, how did the Chiefs win the Super Bowl with the roster being different and no Patrick Mahomes for half of the year? Like, so if it's possible, but it is. There's reason to freak out.
And half the year would be a different conversation. If it's half the year, they're probably not going to. But, like, this is the thing we did with the – like, if we're comparing them to the Patriots, this is the thing we did constantly with the Patriots. The first Super Bowl rosters and style of play and way they ran that thing looked very, very different than the way they were doing it in the middle and looked very, very different than the way they were doing it at the end, right? It wasn't all Randy Moss and Rob Gronkowski. Sometimes it was Corey Dillon, and they used to run the ball and barely even threw the ball. When I was in college having discussions about Brady versus Manning, who's better? It was Manning has all the stats, but Brady has the wins and doesn't put up very many stats. Of course, then that changed dramatically. Then Brady did have all the stats, right? So I think, again, probably the second best and second most successful 10-year stretch we've ever seen in football. It doesn't have to be all the way over. It doesn't even have to be next year they don't have a chance. They play a soft schedule. And if Mahomes' injury is not like miss half the season type, then let's start there. And then we can look at the offseason. Can a better running game and a couple hits on defensive picks give them enough if Mahomes misses, let's say, four games next year? Yeah, it probably does. But we don't know any of that yet because we don't know the history or we don't know the severity.
That's what I'm saying. I just think as a baseline, because this is going to be talked about for everybody. If you're driving to work, you're going to get asked this the first time. As soon as you're tipping up, like, how long do you think Mahomes is going to miss for? I want you to tell them, I don't know. It depends. But the baseline will probably be 10 months. So just assume it's going to be 10 months and we'll adjust from there. That's what everybody in Wichita needs to do.
We should have an idea like today or in the next
probably.
Few days.
He'll probably have surgery today.
Like immediately, and then we'll know on all that stuff. Joining us now, Wichita State head men's basketball coach Paul Mills. Coach, how are you this morning?
Great.
So, look, I think how many free throws did you guys shoot at practice yesterday? Like that was, we know where that's headed and what you're thinking about from Saturday. But what is the thought now a couple of days later? Because you were in a position to beat a team that to me felt like they profiled a little bit like an AAC team, and it's like we kind of make our free throws, obviously. So what do you take away from that outside of that?
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to control whether or not a player can make a free throw, right? I mean, we have things instituted in place. We've done a good job of it all year, and then all of a sudden to have an aberration of that, you don't overreact, and you got to find ways the other things that we should have been in control of. So I'll give you an example there at the end of the first half. We're only sitting on two fouls and you got 10 seconds to go. And we just were not aggressive enough fouling the basketball. And then they get an opportunity to end the half with 2 points. There's some pick and roll defense that we needed. We just weren't level. Ball's able to go downhill and basically get a match lit for CJ Gunn in order for him to score, you know, those 16 points in the first half. And we were fortunate to put it out after half. He only got two, But by that time, that match was lit. And so we had an opportunity there. And again, players don't ever miss shots on purpose. There's nobody who feels worse about that than those guys. Immediately after that game, there were multiple players shooting free throws afterwards, just because it weighs on you when you don't perform to a standard that you want. But, you know, again, I don't think you can ever get on somebody because, hey, you know what? You had a bad day shooting the ball. We don't want to be defined by our shooting. We want to be defined by our response. And we need to make sure we respond the right way. And I just think there were some things in that game that, despite the fact that you're shooting 43% from the free throw line, we can still give ourselves an opportunity in that situation if we'll be more mindful about some of these other discipline issues.
Yeah, you kind of touched on it there, Coach. And you're exactly right that, you know, you can't control guys going to the free throw line. You always talk about, you know, like joystick coaching and everything like that. You can't joystick the free throw line. Whenever you do have a game like that, though, and the players feel awful about it, as you said, like, what does that do? It's kind of demoralizing to, you know, lose a game in that way, I imagine, for the players to look at the box score and see that kind of a thing. Like, how do you handle a locker room after that game?
Yeah, I mean, again, the only person that you can control, and first person I ever heard say it was Michael Jackson. Y'all may be too young, but Michael Jackson said, you know what? It's the man in the mirror. I think the only person that you can control is you. And I wish you could control other people. I've been married to my wife for 28 years. And the fact that she still leaves the toothpaste the way that she does, just it bothers me to no end. And I'm just telling you, don't try to control your wife. It's just, it's bad advice. Now, I've got a little bit more power over teenagers than I do my wife. And so we can really encourage guys to get in the gym. But you have to want to do that. I do believe we have guys who have high care factor. But the first thing you do after something doesn't go right is, what can I do better? We're not going to get into finger pointing. We're not going to get into a scenario to where let's blame, let's find excuses. Like, what are the things that I can do better? So after a game like that, I immediately say, what can I do better? And there were some things that you go back. We visited, obviously, for a while yesterday as a staff. And there's some things I think our team needs to know that, man, Noah Hill is terrific. But when Noah comes into the game, on account of he's a freshman, there's the opposition is going to go at him. And we need to collectively understand that. And we need to fill in the gaps. We're not going to leave Noah on an island. There were some better things we could have done, that we were really aggressive in our post defense early in the game, caused turnovers, allowed us to begin that game 11-0. And then all of a sudden we stopped being aggressive. So I think those things, to where you're just a lot cleaner with your communication, those are the type of areas that I kind of think through after a game.
So as we look at this now, and they were in position to make the free throws and win, I do think that's important, right? The things that they were doing were putting them in the right position. They didn't fall. That is what it is at this point. What do you think about, we got one more week to go. These two teams coming up, not to take anything away from them, don't profile quite the same as DePaul. They don't profile quite the way as your peers in the league. What do you do then in this final? Because this is it, right? This is the final week of preparation before you walk through the doors of a conference that I don't think anybody has a good feel for at this point right now.
Yeah, I mean, our execution has to get better. And I mean, and that's what this week will be about. Like, we've got to get cleaner in regards to defensive assignments, in regards to our pick and roll coverage. We need to do a better job of just being dominant on the glass. But our execution offensively just wasn't what it needed to be. I mean, going back to the DePaul game, we knew this going into the game. They were 12th in the country at taking away threes. So we knew we were going to be able to get shots at the rim. Didn't, you know, obviously thought that we were going to get a high free throw number. I thought we'd be in the 20s. I didn't know we'd get 28 of them. But I mean, these are kind of things, you know, but I think moving in, every team is going to present challenges in regards to how they're playing the game and their approach to the game. But our execution's got to get a lot cleaner. We got to get a lot sharper. And I think that's what a week like this does. And to be honest with you, you know, again, no offense to Mount Marty, the non-D1, is during this last week, you know, a week from today, all these guys, for the majority of them, they'll already be home. And they'll be home for Christmas. And you get some of these teams who check out early. And this is a mental week as much as it is a physical week. And I don't believe we have that crew, but we've got to get better in a number of areas, from defensive assignments and offensive execution. So hopefully that we're able to see that during the course of this week.
Coach, one of the biggest shockers, I guess, no pun intended, of the DePaul game is you got a 7-footer wearing a walking boot out there. Will Berg, it sounded like it was an ankle thing. What happened there? And then the second part of the question is E-Man out there looked pretty good rolling with the ones.
Yeah, E-Man was – I thought he was great. I'm quite certain that's probably a career high for him. I haven't looked. I know 32 minutes. Thought he handled it well. His has been an endurance issue, and a game like that will kind of allow him to play. We knew Will had a really good idea. Will wasn't going to be available, you know, during the course of the week. He turned that ankle on Wednesday, and then so we knew Wednesday that, man, it was touch and go. There was a small window of opportunity there, and probably if this was, you know, a conference tournament game, an NCAA game, he would have gone. But we weren't going to risk any further injury to ensure that he got better. So we'll see where he's at today. But that was something that happened earlier in the week, and we were able to plan accordingly. But you always have to have these scenarios, backup scenarios, because these things occur quite a bit in basketball.
30 minutes for TJ Williams, Coach. 6 shots. Are you comfortable with that, or would you like to see him try to score a little more than that?
Yeah, I mean, again, he got 5 free throw opportunities, yeah. And one of those was a opportunity of a 1-1. And yeah. So, you know – every shot isn't going to be able. I thought he was aggressive. Didn't feel like he forced anything. You know, we were trying to go to him early, botched some opportunities for him there, but thought he was aggressive offensive rebounding, which allowed him to get to the free throw line. He was aggressive in his downhill drives. And again, I know it's hard to kind of think through this, but like, we don't go to it in a game of like, this guy needs to get 12 shots. This guy needs to get 15. We're really just trying to say, where is our advantage at? And how do we get the advantage? How do we keep the advantage? How do we exploit the advantage? And the truth is in the game of basketball, it probably changes every couple of minutes. So I will tell you the opportunities that you know, if you pay attention and you're kind of up close trying to get an idea about what's happening. I thought there was an advantage with Dre, and it allowed us to foul out Caleb Banks and get some mismatches and some cross matches there. And then again, 15 offensive rebounds. We thought that when they got cross matched, we'd really have an opportunity on the glass. So we just didn't do well from the free throw line is an obvious point, but we've got to get cleaner in execution.
I'm sure you've already started your 3 a.m. film sessions on Wofford for Wednesday night. For those familiar with the tournament, they're in it quite a bit. You see that logo quite a bit popping up in their league, winning the conference tournament and getting in. What's the scouting report on them?
Yeah, you know, they had a coaching change during right prior to the season. And so I still think there's an acclimation from things that they were used to as a tournament team to where they are today, but have a number of downhill drivers. So we'll kind of see a very similar scenario, have a dynamic player that we saw against the same thing that we saw, not quite the interior. And so that other teams in our league are going to have, but because of that, they can kind of spread you out. Like, I could see them playing in an environment where, hey, you know what? We're going to put 5 littles out there and let's see if y'all can keep up. Like, we'll sacrifice some interior presence in order to see if we can't make some threes. So that presents a challenge. And so we'll know pretty early just about how are we disruptive enough offensively and defensively to counter what they're trying to do from a size perspective.
It is Wofford. It is Eastern Kentucky. Both of those games are at home this week, Wednesday, Sunday, both pretty good advantageous tip times to get in there, especially that Sunday game. And then it's the holidays, and man, we are playing American basketball, Coach. It is going quickly. Probably you guys know that better than anybody. I feel like you got a mountain of things to get accomplished over the next couple of weeks, but we're ready for it. I'm excited about the league this year.
Yeah, me too. All right, TJ, Jacob, I don't know my schedule until like my staff sends it to me at like 10 o'clock the night before. Are we meeting next week?
Monday. Yeah. Next week we should be good
on the 22nd.
Go.
All right. I was going to say Merry Christmas, but I'll say it. I'll wait a week and we'll actually get closer to the date.
We'll be good this Monday, and then we'll deal with the holidays as they come. Coach, we appreciate it. Good luck to practice this week. Stay healthy. There goes Paul Mills, Wichita State men's basketball coach. TJ, for me, there has been a lot of frustration in the outcomes here, but I choose to be optimistic most of the time. Like, I think this is a team that's going to be competitive in the league. It's just like, for me, what you want to see is them finish some of these outcomes. Right.
That's the thing. Like, he's exactly right on the fact of like, they did everything right.
I just didn't
make the free throws.
Well, everything right to win, but they had that stretch still in the first half where you're like, dadgummit, like it's that stretch that's getting them in all of these games. This was
there's gonna be a stretch. It's a game. This is the smallest stretch that
basketball.
It's trending the way it's supposed to. But then you miss the most free throws that you've missed in like two decades.
And what do you do with that? There's nothing you can do with
that is the most demoralizing thing for a lot.
Now, if this is I think 77% shooting. So it's not like it's also abnormal. That's the part that's hard. All right, we've got to get to the latest with Darren Peterson, the rest of college basketball, and Joshua Briscoe joins us next hour to talk Chiefs. It's all coming for you. Stick with us on Sports Daily. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Another hour of Sports Daily here. NFL Monday Night Football on KFH tonight. Tune into 97.5, 1240 KFH at 6. Dolphins on the road facing the Steelers. And you asked us 3 weeks ago, we'd have told you that's a dud. All of a sudden, it's not. You can listen online at kfhradio.com as well, or download the free Odyssey app and search KFH. We've got an hour coming up for you here. Joshua Briscoe, next segment in to talk Chiefs. We will discuss some of the college basketball. You heard from Paul Mills there. Shocker fans, if you missed it, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. It's all what's on tap. Brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. Now pouring the brand new seasonal Bock Lager. Bock? Yeah. A cold beer that'll give you a warm feeling. Bock Lager available at all three WBC brew pubs, east near Central and Woodlawn, west at 13th and Tyler, and in historic Delano and Handley, Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for the holiday season. Thanks, Paul Mills, for stopping in. TJ, real quick, before we get back to Chiefs talk next segment and probably through the rest of the hour, let's talk about the rest of college basketball. We get Darren Peterson for a decent amount of time, but not a full amount of time.
Who cares? Did you see Melvin Council on Saturday?
I did. I did.
Most field goal attempts by a Jayhawk since Danny Manning in 1988. That is incredible.
It would be nice to be able to say, who cares, right? Like, it would be nice to just say, like, I love that. And that's a great, like, oh, you know, we're talking about Darren Peterson. Melvin Council was great. And I know you're kidding. But, like, yeah, we are. Because, again, he leaves a game with injury. And it's like, what are we doing here? Is this normal? 31 minutes was the most minutes. I would tell you this. When do they play again? When's their next game? Towson on tomorrow night. I don't know that I would push it, so maybe we're not going to get it. But let's say we're in conference play and that exact same thing happens, and he just comes back and plays the next day. At that point, I think we can just say, you know what? This is just a thing that's going to happen when he plays, right? Like, you're not – like, he's just going to have to at some point leave the game because this thing's going to flare up on him.
And if that's the truth, like, this is the thing, and we talked about this. He played 31 minutes. If he didn't limp off the court and be injured when he limped off the court, you'd say – well, okay, 31 minutes, that's pretty good. Like, I'm not going to push it more than that in non-conference play with Darren Peterson. He got 31 minutes out of him. But the fact that he got hurt again is, like, if this is going to happen every game, like, that's scary. And for KU, you find a way to manage it, I guess. But I think the thing that's scary in the larger conversation is the fact that this guy is supposed to be the number one pick in the draft. And if he has to do this every game, like, I'm surprised there hasn't been more NBA, you know, like, murmurings at the minimum about, like, this guy's, you know, he's come out of every game. And, like, I'm not making any comment on his character or anything like that, but if something's lingering, then something is lingering. It doesn't just go away.
Now, guy is bought into KU. He's doing and saying all the right things. He's engaged on the sidelines. I don't, like, there's nothing other than he has an injury he's trying
to
navigate.
I agree. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the fact of scouts that want to invest the future into him. Like, is there a conversation to be had?
Obviously, we don't think this has ever been a problem for him in the past, at least one that we've known about. So if you're an NBA scout, do you miss out on the next fill in the blank here because you're worried about a nagging hamstring injury when he's 19 years old? No, probably.
That's the thing. That's what I'm saying is the fact of, like, we're not going to sit here and make digs at Darren Peterson's character, call him soft or anything like that, because he's hurt. And that's and people on social media have been quick to question his character when this happens every single game. And
people,
the fact of the matter is,
social media, that's a great,
he's hurt. Yeah, I know. That's my favorite group of people. He's hurt.
A great 90s alternative band. People on social media.
He's hurt. But you just need to see. And I think this is true for the NBA. And I think it's true for KU fans and college basketball fans at that, is like, you just want to see one, just to go all the way through and see, like, see what that looks like with him in a close game in overtime against NC State. Right. And we didn't get to see it. Like, that's what you want.
We got 30 minutes. Like, that's, I mean, you got your 30 minutes, and then they just didn't have him when they went to overtime. And a huge shout out to Melvin Council. That was so awesome to see that. And good for him. Like, that, you know, that could linger out and give him some confidence and do some things. I mean, that was far better than his career norms, but you never know. Here's the interesting part to me. They play Towson and Davidson. You could, in theory, if you're KU right now, right? You could, what day did they play? The 13th. You could give almost 3 full weeks off to Peterson before the start of conference play. Like, if you're going to do it, now's the time to do it. This will be interesting to see what happens with him this week. You also can take the other side to say, there is a natural week off built in after these two games. Do you try to still, like, inch him out there and see what happens? And the way he came up and had to come out, and I think I would be kind of inclined to just say, we'll see you at UCF. I mean, 3 weeks, like, that's as long an amount of time as KU will have had to just shut it down, right? As they'll get, they're not going to get a better time if that's the thing that could help him through it. But that's the part that makes it so tough, is like, what is the diagnosis? What helps? Does shutting it down help?
I know.
Or does it even matter?
That's the conversation to have at this point. And I think that if it was something to be like, if this hasn't been a thing all season, you may do that. But I think that the conversation now is that, like, he missed 7 games and it didn't help. And it might have been a different thing. I understand that a hamstring is a hamstring. And, like,
I think it's the same thing.
It's like, you know, I don't know if it will. I don't, this may just be something he has to deal with for the foreseeable future.
And if that's the case, look, if you can get 30 minutes from him, great.
You figure it out. Just, if that's, that's the thing, is that they're just, we and KU are just trying to figure out the reality of expectations. I think, like, we've been told this guy's the greatest basketball player since Kobe Bryant, maybe, like, greatest guard since Kobe Bryant. And now we're at the point where it's like, well, why is he not playing 40 minutes a game? Like, if he's that good, like, what's going on? You know, like, we just need to see what it looks like.
It's hard. This is unusual. This isn't the kind of thing, like, nobody can predict that he's going to have a nagging soft tissue injury that is confusing him, the coaches, the medical staff. Like, he's clearly confused by it. Like, he doesn't, you know, he came, he had a, like, all of a sudden he's just like, crap, I gotta come out of this game right now. But Melvin Council, fantastic job. Just that was so much fun to watch. And, you know, the other guys continue. That's the best thing. The best news for KU is, while they deal with this, the headline, right, of everybody else just keeps chiseling out, like, their goals and doing the things that they need to do.
We've had arguments about this, not arguments, we kind of agreed, that, like, they weren't good enough without, like, this team might be a top 6 team in the Big 12 without Darren Peterson. Like, Yeah. They've been playing well.
I think you could get there because their defense has got a chance to be so dang good.
No.
Yeah, because Bill Self teams always, remember this, Bill Self teams almost always get better defensively. You got to take away the last couple of years because that team never did anything up or down. It just was already there. Most of the time, though, over his career, KU teams have gotten better defensively by the end of the year. If that happens with this team, they've got a chance. Yeah, with or without Peterson. I mean, with Peterson, I think the ceiling is as high as you want to raise it. Without him, it could still be a pretty good year. Okay, Kansas State beats Creighton. Creighton's having a down year, but I don't want to make an excuse for Kansas State. They came out and won. They got beat in the second half, which you didn't like to see. They looked really good in the first half. You know, it was a game where Haggerty here's probably the best news. If you're Jerome Tang, it was a game where Haggerty wasn't that good and they were still good enough and they still scored 83 points and did these things. That's a little refreshing, right? Maybe it doesn't have to be all Haggerty, because if it does have to be all Haggerty, it ain't going to work. We've seen that now.
I agree. I think that this is one that you watch that, it had its downsides. You didn't want Creighton to come back from a 20-point deficit and make you sweat late. But I think in the same breath, you got to see, you know, David Castillo took a game over off the bench and made clutch layups down the stretch to put the game out of reach. And you saw K-State show fight. And I don't know if we had seen that, you know, like they fought in the Kansas City tournament and lost to Nebraska. They didn't really have to fight that much against Mississippi State because P.J. Haggerty scored 35 points or whatever it ended up being. Like, this is the first, you know, successful adversity I think that they faced, and I think that helps a lot.
Makes you feel better. They get they don't play during the week. Their schedule is a little different than most, so they'll play this weekend, and then they actually do get a game before conference play in that week where most teams are taking the week off, not until Sunday, but an interesting place to take like a tune-up game against Louisiana Monroe. Just but they don't play. So, and this is probably why this is not that interesting. They don't get the first opening game of the Big 12. Like, that must be one of their bye slots. So they started on a weekend. So we'll see, whatever. It doesn't matter. They don't have South Dakota. Is South Dakota good this year? Have you looked yet?
No idea.
A team that the sometimes women, is.
It's not the women are really good.
Yeah. South Dakota. We'll see. We'll talk about it later in the week, but K-State gets a nice win. KU, the Darren Peterson experience continues, you know, with an injury cloud hanging right above it, and it's going to for a little while. I don't know that, you know, there was a point where I was like, he'll be fine by the time they get to conference play and everything will be. I don't know if I think that. I think this might be a thing all year.
That's, I got to find Bill Self's comments after the game. Like, what he said after the game makes you believe that as well. I know Henry, I'll find it later. He said something
to the effect of, this is just something we're dealing with. Like, yeah.
Yeah, he basically said, I'm happy with the fact, here it is. He said he needed to come out, his experiences every game that we played. I was happy that he got that far and that deep into the game. Like, that makes you think of the fact of, like, they're figuring out the realities.
Yeah. All right, we're coming back. Joshua Briscoe joins us. We'll get back into the Chiefs Armageddon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here, joined now by Joshua Briscoe, Chiefs Radio Network, at JB Briscoe on social, all things Chiefs. Chiefs, if I wasn't, I'm glad that I can be certain, Josh, that you can't actually jump through this screen and strangle me when I ask you where your panic meter would be on the Chiefs today. Just like, I mean, God bless America.
Math wasn't ever my strongest suit, so I think the biggest number I ever learned about was a Googleplex, but I'm not sure if that's a real number or just a number they tell you in middle school.
Yeah.
I'm out of numbers. I honestly, with, I don't know, whatever it would have been, 3 minutes left in the game, I felt decent about whatever was going to happen because the rest of the results in the NFL were going the way that would mathematically eliminate the Chiefs from the playoffs if they lost. And hey, if they win, we'll do this again for a couple more weeks and see where it goes. But like, as I was thinking, if they drop this game, Butker misses a field goal here at the end, something happens with a turnover, they lose in overtime, whatever. If they lose this game, at least we know. I think I was on a great trajectory to a relatively zen place on like, hey, this team didn't have it this year. We can talk about the fine margins and all of that. But I was going to be okay. And then the one singular thing that could not happen to end the season happened. And now I'm a little bit aimless, and I think the Chiefs probably are too.
It's interesting, and we've had a lot of conversations now about the injury and everything. You see the image of Mahomes walking off, and we don't know anything about the severity of a tear or when surgery is scheduled or what else happened in that knee, but it raises some eyebrows as to 2026 was already an interesting year for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now it's going to be a really interesting year for the Kansas City Chiefs is the best way to put it, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, I think from the moment that he didn't instantly get up and try to start walking it off, I was pretty convinced that it was bad. But I really didn't, but the fact that he did walk down that tunnel with help and everything, okay, well, maybe, you know, a hyperextension would be, in this case, great news. Maybe some sort of minor, medium-sized sprain even would have been great news. And you get not quite the worst case scenario. And I don't know, we have a situation now, the last couple of quarterback injuries with like Achilles, maybe that's even worse than an ACL at this point. I don't know. But as you mentioned, it puts an already a non-obvious offseason where there will be forks in the road that the Chiefs have to choose between. Now there are twice as many of those, not because like Mahomes is clearly out for all of 2026. If I had to bet, knowing nothing extra from what we heard last night, I would think that by the standard he's set, that Mahomes is probably going to aim for the shortest possible recovery time and try to do the thing that he seems to do in the face of any injury, which is get back on the field sooner than you'd expect. But also, this isn't a late season ankle sprain with a Super Bowl on the line. This is a serious ACL tear with the rest of your career ahead of you. So, I mean, it's a dark day, to be sure.
It's a dark day, and we'll see on the severity and when he can return. It's an interesting place for the franchise because this was coming eventually, right? We all always knew there was going to have to be a reset. The timer was too similar for too many key players. But it's also interesting that they're going to play a third-place schedule next year. It's interesting that they do have an offensive line that, when healthy, we know can be pretty good. They have invested a lot in offensive. Like, I don't think it means they have to, like, have a bad year next year.
I agree.
May not even mean they don't have to have a competitive year. So how, like, do you rip the Band-Aid off this offseason, or do you try to run it back in some way? Do you do somewhere in between that? Like, does it, maybe it matters how long Mahomes is out, but I do think it's not as cut and dry as some people wanted to make it out at, you know, 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
No, I agree with that. I don't think that I was thinking this morning, kind of getting ready for all my shows coming up and everything. I was thinking, well, God, I mean, man, this team without Mahomes might be picking in the top 10, and that, oh God, there are 11 right now, I think, in this year's draft with a full season of Mahomes to this point. So I think asking it in like the Band-Aid terms is a good way to do it, because I already think there were going to be several Band-Aids that were probably going to get ripped. Now I think you're ripping all of those and some maybes and some probables. Like, I don't know that Travis Kelce is, I was starting to talk myself into one last ride for Travis Kelce. And now you're thinking, hey man, maybe you're catching passes from Gardner Minshew or some other backup for the first 6-8 weeks of the season, whatever it ends up being. And maybe it's more than that. That's a tough sell for a guy who's already just still in such an enormous part of the offense that it's made him, I mean, he's been productive into his mid to late 30s now. So I think a lot of those decisions you might have been on the fence about, you have to get certainty on Trent McDuffie, obviously. Maybe you do consider what might be available for Chris Jones, but I think that's still less likely than likely. I don't think that you're talking about any sort of like, yeah, just go in the next year, kind of vibes and friendship and lose some games, get a good draft pick. I'm kind of concerned that they're going to accidentally beat the Titans and Raiders and still screw up where their draft spot could be now. I mean, I think the Raiders, I would take Gardner Minshew's Chiefs over the Raiders right now. Titans had some fight yesterday, so we'll see how that goes next week. But it is just such a bizarre, bizarre place. And again, it's, I don't know, it didn't have to go this way, but to your point about like so many bills coming due around the same time, that's how the NFL is structured. You're not supposed to be able to do this for this long. You're not really supposed to be able to go to back-to-back Super Bowls. That's hard enough. So I do think that this kind of fits the natural rhythm of the down year going into the remodeling, if you will. They're not rebuilding because they're not going to tear down all the way to the foundation, but some rooms are going to look really, really different next year, and I think that's probably for the best.
Josh, if you were tuned into Sports Daily this morning at about 7:05 before I even drank my coffee, me and Jacob were screaming at each other about the future of the Chiefs and the panic meter on that side. It's okay. This is when fans are supposed to be upset. And it doesn't matter that they went to 10 straight playoffs and 3 straight Super Bowls the last 3 years. Like, this is the first, you know, real adversity that they've seen on the dynasty. Like, what does it mean for the dynasty that you don't make the playoffs? What does it mean for the dynasty that you won't have Mahomes likely for some time next year? It's not crazy to say the words, you know, franchise altering, in my opinion. I don't know if I'm going crazy or not.
Oh, I mean, it's as It's like, I guess, short of like the Teddy Bridgewater kind of version of like this, the knee injuries that were just everything is torn, you know, which is, to be fair and to be clear, is not what we're hearing about Mahomes. We've heard ACL, but like short of something like that, I mean, it is as much of a threat to the organization as anything. The health of Patrick Mahomes, the ability of Patrick Mahomes to play football, is the most important thing in the Kansas City Chiefs franchise and has been for the last 8 years and will be until he eventually walks away. So, that, I mean, I think that being sort of like an apocalyptically large panic meter hit is totally reasonable. I think what that means in the greater context of this team is maybe something different. Where, yes, I was ready to follow the third place schedule and the top 15 draft pick and all of that into next year with some optimism on a 1 year turnaround on the retooling. But now I am thinking, okay, well, what if Mahomes is joining a 2-4 team to try to get that team into the playoffs? Well, if he comes back and looks like Patrick Mahomes, they could speed that recovery timeline, not for him, but for the team, speed that recovery timeline up a little bit. I don't think we're going to be able to really say what it means for the dynasty for like 3 years, which I know is a long time to wait for an answer in radio. But it is like, I think is where we're at to say this is either going to be, I mean, and I don't think this is too dramatic. I think this is just factual, and I'll tell you what I'd bet on. But that image of Mahomes being helped down the tunnel with the Super Bowl banners to his right, that image is either going to be what we remember as the beginning of the end, or it's going to be what we remember as the opening shot of the next ESPN documentary. And it's going to be the rise and fall of the can, or like, it's like the fall and rise, perhaps, of the Kansas City Chiefs, or of Patrick Mahomes. I think that's more likely. I do still think he's going to look like Patrick Mahomes when he comes back. I'm not in a place where I'm thinking like, oh man, he's going to return as you know, a fringe top 10 quarterback. That, I don't really have any fear about that at this point. But I do think it's going to end up being more likely that this is the interlude in that dynasty story, but it is, again, a bigger threat than Joe Burrow or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. The only thing that can really threaten the future of the Chiefs is what happened to Patrick Mahomes yesterday.
I totally agree. And I do think, I'm with you, the, you know, who do you think you are, I am moment for right. Kansas City could be right now, right. Next year if they have success. My whole point on it is, like, it's okay that the Chiefs trusted in this group to go try to do it again. And that didn't work. Like, they just went to the Super Bowl and they put their faith in a lot of guys who for 10 years have done all the right things. Didn't work this year. Everything was going to be okay. And then Mahomes gets hurt.
Right.
And it is. It's the one thing. Like, it's the one thing. And that's what, like, people don't like that. But everyone's like, oh, the dynasty, how long? And I'm like, guys, as long as Mahomes healthy, like, they'll be fine.
Right.
Because that's the best starting point you can possibly have. So we'll see on his injury. I'm glad to hear that we're not hearing any lingering things. So if it is one of those interludes and they're 2-4 or whatever next year coming into it with a third place schedule, what do we think the path to being as good as they could be to be competitive next year still would be? Is it a rebuilt running game? We know the line should be pretty good next year. Right. Like, so do you go all in, run the ball, play some defense and just get Mahomes back? And they won a Super Bowl like that. The last Super Bowl they won, they played great defense and it didn't look as like it normally did. I think they can work through it as long as he's back, you know, by October or sooner.
Yeah, I think in the short term and specifically like thinking ahead to the draft, I think you need an influx of defensive speed, maybe even more so than just defensive youth. And I know Steve Spagnuolo and youth on the defense, it feels very binary. It's either the entire defense, like it was the year where they rebuilt the defense in one draft class on the Tyreek Hill pick, or it's like, give me as much Mike Edwards as possible because we need veterans to keep this thing steady. So I think it just has to be a youth year for Steve Spagnuolo. What I don't really want to see is a bunch of hedged bets. Like, I think you do just go ahead and you put your chips down on the best places you can put your chips down and you try to get your roster to a place where right now I think it also has a bit of a lack of verifiable blue chip players. And look, every roster wants more blue chip players. Everybody would like to have, I was going to say Micah Parsons, but obviously his ACL is in fear. So you need to use that top whatever pick it ends up being, around the 12 to 15 mark in all likelihood, maybe you move up and you find yourself a real wide receiver one, and that's the path to adding firepower to this offense that's probably not going to have Travis Kelce next year, although again, we'll just find out in the spring. We'll find out in March
point. Maybe he'll tell us after the game if he talks in the locker room.
Yeah, obviously that'll probably be a New Heights thing. So yeah, I don't know. We'll find out from him whenever he wants to talk about it. But I think you have to have another element of this offense from a weaponry standpoint. You have to get faster and a little bit younger on defense. And then from like a strategic standpoint, I think, Jacob, you used the right term on running game, because the thing that I have, like, and look, I've talked about valuing running backs for 6 or 7 years now in pretty concise terms, where drafting a running back higher does not mean he's going to be a better player. You have to be able to find the hand and glove fits, unless you're going to have one of like the 4 or 5 running backs that at any given time really do move the needle. I don't know that Tyler Algier is saving the Chiefs running game, because it seems like the running game is broken in some way right now, where you do have, and again, not this injured offensive line version, although Esipola is holding his own, but the healthy version of this Chiefs offensive line should be a road grader in the running game. Other running games around the league, you look at a Ben Johnson offense, you look, frankly, at any McVay and any Shanahan tree, those teams are having better and better abilities to run the football. I mean, and Shanahan's been doing it forever. That's a place where they can hang their hat and make life easier on their quarterback, whoever their quarterback is. So the real stinker now is that even if there is some sort of switch up there, and I don't know that there's going to be, but if you are going to try to do something fundamentally differently next year, Patrick Mahomes is not the one taking those reps in training camp in all likelihood. And that's a tough pill to swallow, where now he's rehabbing and then returning to maybe certainly some new things next year, even if it's just no Kelce and a couple of rookies out there. So it really is a tough spot where I think this needed to be an offseason of change, and now there's no chance or no choice.
Real quick, TJ, because I think there's this narrative too that Andy Reid doesn't ever, like, he doesn't run the ball. And that's just like Jamal Charles had great years under Andy Reid. Brian Westbrook is borderline Hall of Famer. LeSean McCoy, I believe, won a rushing title with him in Philadelphia. Like, Andy Reid can run the ball and has historically. So let's not pretend like he's not capable of that. He is capable of a run-based offense.
Well, yeah. And I would say that those are three remarkable talents in relatively similar skill sets.
That
was a long time ago. My question now would just be, not even the willingness, but like, what is the state of your running game in the modern NFL against the way that opposing defenses have gotten lighter and faster over the years? Can you get bigger and stronger and heavier and move those guys, which is what some of the more successful running games have created? And look, I think the NFL is probably about ready for another evolution on that front. So if you're not one step ahead, you're two steps behind. And this running game has been two steps behind for a couple of years now.
Yeah. One thing that I think is getting, lost in the shuffle of all this craziness is, what is this going to look like that the Chiefs are eliminated from the playoffs? They haven't been, this is the earliest they've been eliminated since 2012. Like, 2014 was a sprint to the end. Like, what does it look like? Are we going to see the Minshew media? I kept thinking yesterday, Josh, about what you said a couple of weeks ago of, hey, sorry, Mom, I can't come home for Christmas. I got to go watch Gardner Minshew play against the Broncos on Christmas night.
Yeah, I didn't believe it that way when I said it. I think I was probably joking. And yeah, here we are. That is absolutely what's happening. I'm going to leave Christmas early so I can go get the people ready to watch Gardner Minshew sling that thing on Amazon.
I'll be there.
Yeah, I mean, heck of a holiday. Obviously, it's going to be Minshew, unless they want to get some Chris Oladokun reps. Maybe that's a Week 18 thing, get him some game experience. That's fine with me. I honestly don't know. I hope nobody yells at me for this. I don't care.
Is it going to be a bowl game? What's it going to look like?
How good do you want that draft pick to be?
I want
the life of a Cowboys fan.
Right, I want the better draft pick at this point. I mean, there is literally nothing left to play for other than, pride and wanting to get to a winning record and all of that. 9-8 is worse for me if you're picking 8. I'd rather have a 6-11 season picking 9 or 10 rather than be 9-8 picking 20. I'm not in the locker room. I don't have to play. I don't have to suit up. But if you just said, hey, man, look, at Week 18 against the Raiders, maybe they dropped the next two. Maybe the Titans come out roaring. They lose to the Broncos on Christmas. Maybe week 18 is like, Chris Oladokun, you've been great for us on the scout team. Go get some NFL tape against the Raiders, which will hopefully look pretty good for you. Hey, let's get that Hunter Norzad, CJ Hansen rotation in there. If you want to let Kingsley keep getting more reps, that's cool. Your whole young offensive line, we do not need to see Trey Smith again this year. We do not need to see Juwan Taylor again this year. We might not need to see Jalen Moore again this year. Obviously, hey, Josh Simmons, do not worry about week 18. That, to me, Xavier Worthy, surgery
Chris
time.
Chris Jones came up lame.
Chris Jones, rest up, pal. We'll see you next year. That, to me, for me, subjectively, not speaking on behalf of anyone with the Chiefs, this is a time to you for you to start your offseason 3 weeks early. Go, the coaches have to coach. Somebody's got to play. But if you are a top 10 player on this roster and you have appeared on the injury report in the last month, it is time for you to go get that cleaned up. Again, Xavier Worthy, I appreciate your toughness, sir. Go get the surgery on both of those body parts that you need. Get ankle and shoulder at the same time if you can, and we will see you in St. Joe. That, to me, is the path that I would take. And that, hopefully, allows you to see more from Jalen Royals, Breshard Smith, Jeff Bassa on the defensive side. Let's see the young guys and let's get to the end of this season.
There's really nothing else to veer from much today than the decade that we've seen now. And you have not been in this market, you know, in this sports market, whatever, professionally, in any time that the Chiefs weren't doing this.
Yeah.
So it is probably even stranger for you.
You want to play the game? How old was TJ the last time this happened?
Oh, God, that's not even what I meant, but yeah.
Seventh grader. I was in seventh grade the last time Chiefs missed the playoffs.
Yeah, that's, I mean, so I get it. I get why a lot of people are, because when you know, like, I and believe it or not, I went through this in my life. I was a Cowboys fan, and I was about in the seventh grade when they won their last Super Bowl in 1995, maybe a little young. I was a little younger than that. And so, like all those formative years. So it was really hard to process them sucking as hard as they've sucked for this long. Now I'm used to it. But I mean, as a young kid, I'm like, this sucks. I'm not doing this. Like, I'm not putting up with this. And so I get it. I get the panic. But the one thing the Chiefs have that teams like this go through, they have Patrick Mahomes. And so for me, as I'm watching it all happen, I'm like, man, this didn't work out this year. Running it back wasn't the right call. They were wrong about it. I was wrong about it. I thought this was going to work. Too many injuries, too many things. Okay, fine. Like, whatever. They'll figure it out. They've got to make some tough roster decisions, but they'll be all right next year. And then Mahomes goes down, and you're like, okay, now we got to really hang on a minute.
I agree. I think like,
hang on a minute. Now we do have to pucker a little.
As you can tell if you're listening to the show, is that the main conversation now turns to what does this look like for next year? And what is the, you know, not fallout, but what does it mean that they missed the playoffs? And those are the biggest conversations. But I think that in the shuffle as well here, I keep talking about things that are getting lost in all of the new shuffle, because that happens a lot in a newsroom for those that don't know the inside baseball. Lost in the shuffle is the fact of, is there a question of, you know, what if, like, as I brought up earlier in the show, like, the Chiefs may not have been good enough to get it done this year, even if they made the playoffs and if everything went to plan. But we saw them as one of the best teams in football. Like, for 3 weeks, they were the best team in football. And then Josh Simmons was gone for a month. And then, you know, Rashee Rice wasn't there for the first part of all of that. And then you think about the offensive line got even more hurt. And then Isaiah Pacheco got hurt. And then you were missing five linemen this past. Like, there's a lot of things that didn't go their way. Like, when we look back in a decade to this season, do you think that there will be the fact, like, will there be a question of what if all that didn't happen? Could they have gone 100%, four straight?
100%. I think that, you know, in a vacuum, right? In a vacuum, this team is better certainly than last year's team. And I'm just talking about like talent wise. This team's better than last year's team. We can have a real conversation about whether it's better than the team 2 years ago. It was right there for them. They have failed this year, right? And there's a lot of circumstances with injuries that they can't control, right? There is the difficulty of a schedule, but that's not a good enough excuse for the Chiefs, who always play a difficult schedule. The reality is, of all the, this to me by far was their biggest they underperformed year that they've had. Because I do think on paper, this team has probably been the best of the last 3 years. 2 years ago, we thought, oh man, they're going to fight. And it's like, hang tight. That defense is really good. Let Mahomes get them to the playoffs. Here it was like, real. Their offensive line's really bad. Don't buy into the, they've only got one loss. Like, they have some real problems. This year, like, if we could start the year and I had told you that, man, when that line's out there, they look awesome, we'd have been like, hell yeah, let's go to the moon, right? Didn't work out that way. So in the context of, was this a disappointing year? This is probably the most disappointing, not just because they missed the playoffs, but because they should have been a whole lot better. Even with those tough circumstances, they made more mistakes. Mahomes made more mistakes. The Hall of Famers made mistakes. There were coaching decisions you didn't like. That's the stuff that, yeah, for this year individually, it's a wildly disappointing year. But you always were able to just be like, but you know what? In 10 years, if you have one of those, not that big a deal. We'll move on to the next one. And that's where the Mahomes injury steps in and you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you there. And I think that's what my biggest point was earlier, is the fact of, like, if you want to freak out, like, Chiefs fans haven't had a lot to freak out about. Like,
freak out about this year, yes.
I'd freak out about the state of the Chiefs currently, I think, is the
with what, Mahomes what is, now. Yeah, my point was, people have been trying to freak out about the state of the Chiefs for 6 weeks now. And I'm like, guys, like, give some grace to Mahomes and Kelce and Jones and Reed to figure this out this year. Like, they're not done yet. Like, we have 10 years of them finding a way. Let's see if they can find a way here. But it was like, no, this is over. It's over. This team sucks. It's done. And I'm like, goodness gracious. Like, yeah, but now that level of panic has more merit because of the Mahomes injury. We don't know two key things, TJ, to me. Like, two really key things are the severity of that injury and how he bounces back from it or doesn't, right? We won't know that answer. And the other big elephant in the room that nobody is talking about, and maybe it's because it's only December 15th, we literally have a conversation about Andy Reid retiring every single year. Is that no longer a concern? Did I miss something?
I know. I don't know what to think about that, because if Andy Reid was going to retire, coaches retire at the top. Players, it's not quite the same thing, because I think that, you know,
there's a physical component to that.
Yeah, players only have so much. Like, if you're a coach, a lot of coaches try to just call it once you win the Super Bowl and say, that's enough. Like, I've done what I needed to do. And everybody thought that Andy Reid was going to try for the three-peat, and that might have been it last year. And there's a real what if about that. If they beat the Eagles Super Bowl, would Andy Reid be coaching this year? I don't know that answer. But
I mean, he loves football. He loves what he does, and he's not that old.
I think that this is the best way to pose all these questions in ways that we don't know what we're talking about right now, because, like, we don't know. Like, would you be shocked if it happened? Like, if it happens, is that like a, oh my gosh, like, or was it some like, yeah, you could have seen that one coming? Like, Chris Kleiman retiring is, oh my gosh. Like, yes. Is Andy Reid retiring the same feeling as that? He's like, he's old. Like,
Andy Reid, he's not as old as people think he is. It's just because he's been a coach for so dang long. He feels older than he is. He is, I believe, 67 years old.
I was gonna say, he's like,
he is just now the age, TJ, where we hope we'll be able to retire someday if we have anything to retire with. Like, he's just now getting to that. He loves what he does. Like, this is like, so. That's always been my thing when we have the conversation, is like, let's not be so quick to just assume the guy that loves football as much as anybody in the history of the world has loved football, still loves football and wants to do this. But now it's like, it's still out there, right? You've had a crazy, emotional, disappointing year. Now you've got to go into next year. You don't know if Mahomes is going to be there. You do know you're probably going to have to reinvent yourself a little bit. Like, that is an easy thing to see in the self-evaluation process. Like, we're going to have to change some things this year. That's a lot to add. Now you're asking a whole, it's different, I think, to do that than to just walk in business as usual with Mahomes, which is already, as an NFL coach, a lot of work. So We'll find out. I don't know, but nobody's talking about it, and I'm very surprised by that. Like, what if he doesn't come back? Now you throw a head coaching search into this?
Could you imagine? Like, talk about the severity of the situation in Manhattan, Kansas, of trying to hire assistant coaches and keep a team on. Like, imagine a situation in Kansas City where you're the dynasty of football. You don't have the head coach or the quarterback. What do you do this offseason? Like, wow, that'd be a lot of fun. Not a lot of fun. A lot of interesting conversations to have, I guess. Maybe not fun.
It sucks. It really sucks. I don't know what to do. It's funny that we were talking about, like, what would you rather have? See the team play hard or a higher draft pick? Like, I want to welcome in Chiefs Kingdom to what it's like for the rest of us. I'm sitting there watching a Cowboys-Vikings game, texting, wanting to text trash talk to our buddy Brandon Zinner, the Vikings fan. But, like, my heart, I'm like, I always want to see him win. In my head, though, I'm like, you know, it'd kind of be nice if they lost this game. That's they could get a better pick than, like, welcome to the life for the rest of us.
I know.
This is what it's like.
It's such
it's not such fun.
A weird pro sports, especially in the NBA and the NFL, of like the window conversation and things of that sort. It's like, if you're not in the window, like, no point in trying.
Like, it's just stupid. And most of the time it is stupid. But for the Chiefs, who are very much in their window still, like, for and they look like their window has at least 10 more years in it. These kinds of little things make a huge difference. Like, those last 3 weeks that nobody remembers. The problem is they probably can't even try to lose to the, you know, to the Titans and the Raiders. They probably couldn't lose those games if they wanted to.
I'm so, like, that weekend, I'm the kind of guy, we've talked about this before. I get so up for the stupid week 18 games where, Carson Wentz is starting against, like, I'm more locked into those games than I am for the Texans game last week. Like, watching what this is going to look like against the Titans and the Raiders, seeing Gardner Minshew and Breshard Smith leading the Chiefs out there, it's like, this is incredible. This is like watching a non-conference college football game in August. Like, who are these guys?
Yeah, just like the preseason is what it's like. And there are things that, you know, the thing about the Chiefs, though, like, who could even, like, who even needs the work? Like, what player could come in and get the reps that help them? Like, I don't even know. Like, that, I don't know. Like, who's? I mean, Jalen Royals is one.
This is a conversation that we'll likely have later this week, I think. And we talked about the draft earlier. Is like, they are going to be in their best position in a decade to make a draft pick. Like, you don't have a running back. Your defensive line is depleted a little bit. Josh Briscoe talked about a wide receiver one. You can get the best wide receiver you've drafted since Tyreek Hill, potentially.
No.
You get another offensive lineman and try to fix it. Like, you don't have a tight end anymore. Who do you draft at number 10?
Rashee Rice is fine. Now, don't draft a wide receiver. You draft a flipping pass rusher with a pedigree is what you do. You had better get better rushing the passer. That's what they have.
Jacob Rodriguez, welcome to you.
Yeah, that's right, baby. He's just my favorite. He's going to be like a fourth round pick too, which is crazy. All right, TJ, that does it for us on a Monday. These shows are tricky because there's so many things to talk about, and then something happens where you're like, how do you not talk about the thing that's just screaming at you, which is Mahomes done for the year and now into next year and all these things. Thanks to Josh Briscoe for helping us try.
Today was a little bit of a Chiefs special featuring Paul Mills. Thanks for Coach Mills for being a team player on that.
Coach Mills, thank you. If you missed any of his conversation on the Shockers, you can go back and listen to that on the Odyssey app. You've got Monday Night Football tonight. Dolphins Steelers in a game. Listen, it's getting kind of interesting.
I love that we're deep in fantasy playoffs across the country, and everybody's looking at the matchup saying, why is all of them done? Oh, because nobody has a single player from the Dolphins or the Steelers, except for maybe
Jalen Waddle and Devin Achane going tonight. DK Metcalf is on the board. We probably won't discuss it much tomorrow.
I will not be talking to you.
We're coming back tomorrow. See ya.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.